let's start to review some knowledge or something what we did last week. Last week, mainly we talked about the pH, potential pH diagram. This is very important for materials which are going to be used in the practical situation. When you want to use some material for your components, for your designed machines or apparatus equipment, you must know something about the corrosion resistance, or does your parts is going to be okay for a lifetime you expect it.
ですから期待される、ね、この機能を果たせる、あるいは期待される、まあ、寿命というか、ね、年数内で OK ということは
You must know something about the, its corrosion resistance. 耐食性についてはちょっと知るべき。One of the useful tool or one of the useful way to look at it is thisPotential pH diagram. So you can see it is composed with different chemical or electrochemical reactions listed here. So if you use these chemical reactions just like this, you can see some reactions is directly related with change with the concentration of the someiron, metallic ions, and some equations are related or changes with the concentration and pH, also with the potential. So potential pH change with potential, and pH change with only potential, change with only pH. This kind of three type ofchemical reactions, you can get this figure. This is kind of image or schematic figure about iron and water system. You can see, for example, 2-6 is here. So 2-6 is here. You can see it only changes with the concentration or doesn't change with pH.Horizontal one, and the reversely or in the contrast, you can see this 4-4. 4-4 is here. It only depends on pH. Okay, and some lines with slope or slant is kind of related with both potential and pH.So you got this kind of things, this kind of pH diagram. This is the real one. You can see here, you can see the stable area for iron, and the stable area for Fe2+, stable area for Fe2O3, or for Fe3O4. So, for example, if you want to your iron get into aI think I already gave you homework assignment. I want to get an oxide film on your sample or on your test sample. You can shift the pH around here and hold the hold the potential to this value, so you can get the result what you wanted. And if you want the iron to be protected totally, you have to lower the potentialI think below minus 0.6 volt. So you're going to get a perfect iron protected condition. So not only for iron, there's a lot of pH diagrams. I think maybe Japan, some institute of Japan or some institute in the world,they develop a website for this Paubex diagram. Paubex means the person who invented this diagram. So it's potential pH diagram. available for all the researchers to have a look or to invest or to search what you want. But for the just like this is kind of, you know, grossing area, past vision, which is going to be talked, we're going to be discussed, going to be discussed today, maybe. And the stable area for metallic. But you can see all these kind of things are for pure metals. So for alloys, basically we don't use too much pure metal for our daily, you know, mechanical parts or some components for the machines. So alloy is kind of difficult to build up this kind of pH, potential pH diagram. But you can get some relevant information about different pure metals and combine the information from for different metals, and you can get a rough image for your alloy, the alloy is going to use. So also some research works have been done for some different typical alloys, such as stainless, something like that, or other alloys of this kind of things. But you know, a lot of materials, a lot of different compositions, you cannot build up all these kind of things. So it's kind of instruction or a rough leading, rough introduction method or rough information when you want to design something or use some materials. So this is what I what we talked or what we learned, I think, last week, and delivered this assignment for you. So today we're going to talk about Evans diagram, but basically Evans diagram has been discussed before in some way, but we didn't call it Evans diagram. And even the title is Evans diagram, but we talk a lot of things about the real measurement, how to measure the potential of samples, or how to do the polarization experiment, something like that. And I'll give you some information about the real things, the apparatus or the device we use to, which is called potential start, to do this kind of electrochemical measurement. This is a must-have device for electrochemistry. And we are going to talk about things about the what is the conditions, how does it, how is it be qualified as a counter electrode or as a reference electrode. Samples is what you concentrate, but there's no conditions for it. But we're going to talk these kind of things first. And then we're going to use the Evans diagram, because for very simple or reaction, electrochemical reaction, in under the corrosion condition, it is very simple. You already know the Tafel extrapolation or Tafel line, something like that. But in the real world, especially with metals, there's a past vision area. So the polarization curve, Bunqiu-Kyuksen, polarization curve will change with the change of the properties of metals, different metals. And also the cathodic, the environmental side will change. Depends on the concentration, depends on the dissolved concentration of oxygen, and it depends on the, you know, the flow or convection, something like that, because the diffusion process. So for metal or for material, use this Evans diagram or polarization curve, you can predict or you can analyze the corrosion process, which process is dominant and which process is more important in this case or in that case, something like that. So first about the potential start. In Japanese, we also call it potential start. The real meaning of this device is 停電異分極装置, so fixed potential polarization device, something like that. So you can see from the Japanese, the explanation in Japanese, we have the, I'm not quite familiar with the electrical circuit things, but you can see basically this is a elastic. So in the box, you can see it is not only electric power at the normal example, it just provide you use a battery and give you 1.5 volt or something like that. But if you connect it to the electrode, when the electrode, the chemical reaction happens, occurs, it gives a feedback. So the normal battery or power, electric power device cannot control the potential very precisely or very accurately. So it needs a special device just like this to do the experiment. So that is the explanation for it. You can see from this circuit, if you sense the deviation or the difference between the ES and ER, and they will the signal will be amplified, and use this signal, and they want to kill the difference between these two values. That is why they keep constant, keep the, especially the ER, the potential between sample, working sample and reference in a constant situation. So that is very important. I don't want to explain too much. Actually, I don't know too much about the electrical circuit. So that is the whole idea for this potential start. So this system, it depends on how accurate your device is and what is the range you can handle. I mean the current range or the volt range, something like that. So the price or the composition is totally different. The most, I think, the cheap potential start only 150,000 yen, 152 goma yen. And most expensive things like this, we have one or two in our lab, is more than around 3 million yen, something like that. 300万ぐらいします。15万から300万ぐらい。So, いかにね、この細かい電流コントロールとか、ね、細かい精度がね、上げるときには、こういうようなことはね、あるいは、今度は、if you combine with other devices, the response for this potential start is very important.In our lab, we combine this with impedance response analyzer, FRA. So it needs a very quick response to the frequency change, especially at the high frequency area. 高周波数側で信号を与えるときにいかに電流か電圧をね、うまく反応してくるかっていうのも実際にあります。ですから、特にうちの例えばね、高インピダンス測定する基本的にこのポテンシャルスタートの性能によって、どこまで周波数を測れるかというのもあります。要するにこんなね、very fast you have to control the potential and give feedback the current change, the change in current very quickly. It's kind of very sophisticated and very high tech things, I think.So that is why something is very expensive and something is very cheap for maybe for the student experiment. We only use the very small and cheap one. So this is one thing we should put this in our mind. If you do the electrochemistry, electrochemical measurements, one device you must have is potential start. You have to have one to control the potential very accurately and very stable. So another thing is about the electrode. We know in the battery, you don't have too much, you designed for the battery, so the electrode is kind of fixed. You don't have too much choice or options. But when you are going to conduct or do an electrochemical experiment, you have to select the electrodes, especially the reference electrode and the counter electrode, to be the best combination for your experiment. So we talked about the SHE, I think it's saturated standard hydrogen electrode, SHE. Okay. So all the EMF, all the standard electrochemical potential is referred to SHE. So, but we also talk about this kind of electrode. This is reference. So it's kind of a point, or you're talking about the what? This chemistry, this chemical reaction is minus 0.7 volts, something like that. You have to have a reference to it. So all we're talking about, for example. Something like that. This value is to this. But this one is very difficult to handle. To handle. You have to prepare hydrogen. Okay. You have to the supply line of hydrogen and the control the concentration, something like that. So, as a reference, this electrode is theoretically it is very good, but it is not good for practical using. So that is why we use some other reference electrodes instead of using this. So one is silver iron, saturated silver, and maybe standard silver iron electrode, which is kind of a replacement for this SHE. So why we do this? Because it's very easy to use, and for electrode reference electrode, the conditions and qualification for but just like SHE, must be stable, okay? Reference, if your own potential shifts with the condition changing, okay? Changing, it is meaningless, okay?
is floating away around something. So SHE is good, and all the other replacement, other reactor for replacement for this SHE must be stable. Must be stable. But it doesn't mean, it doesn't change with temperature or something like that. Y zero X change. Then you I zero, yeah. I zero must be big. What does mean I zero must be big? So the big one means even there's some turbulation or some fluctuation of the conditions, this potential doesn't change. That almost doesn't change. In Japanese, 要するにいろんな揺らぎあるいは変化に対しては、この電極非常に安定である。さっき言ったね、分極されるときに電位を測ったり変化するときには、で、これはどで、この交換電流密度が大きいというのはどういう意味なのかというのは、要するにこの反応自体はものすごく平行に立つときにこっちの反応としてものすごくスピード大量にっていうかね、このね、この反応は行きしてると。そうすると、外からちょこっとした、ね、電流の変化、あるいはね、他のね、この条件の変化は、全体にあまり影響がない。逆に、reversely, if this if it is small,で電位をちょこっといじったらサッととかにいっちゃう変わるというような感じで、他のものの影響ものすごく大きい時で、これは実際によろしくない。だから例えばね、ものすごく腐食しやすいものはそうなんですね。平行に対してもいいんだけど、ちょっとね電位を加えてバーッとね、いっちゃうと、でそれはよろしくない。でこれはまあダメですね。でこれはね、この、非常に大きいと。だから外の影響はねほとんど受けないっていうかね、どっしりしてるということになります。 So this is the conditions、ね、as a reference electrode. Another famous replacement for SHE is carmel caramel electrode. Caramel 電極、頑固電極っていうのも、if you try to research some reference or papers about electrochemistry or the researches on the electrochemical field, research field, you can see a lot of papers or the polarization curves or the change of potential refer to silver ion electrode or caramel. Caramel. This is C.So two, only two, SSE. This is or standard, okay. Another one is SCE, okay.
understand that I'm not crazy. So you can see from some figures or the change of potential. So for example, here is potential of E. Then who is this? Yes, she is the one.
So this is the reference. You must have a reference to give the potential value for your research, for your experiment. But you can see the electrode is kind of very strange shape. You can see from here, it's a triangle electrode or the figure on it. We're going to talk another things later. But first with the counter electrode, okay?
So RECEWE, you can see from potential start, you can give they give you the instructions about how to connect different wires. You can reference the electrode, counter electrode, working electrode is the samples you're going to test. So counter electrode.
So it must be chemically stable in the solution.
So generally we use this kind of things,
platinum or carbon, something like that.
The counter reaction is just when you use the potential start, change the potential from the a kind of equilibrium condition, even it's a under a corrosion situation. So definitely, if you use just like the water, if you hold the two kind of things, you hold the water a little bit high, the water will flow to another side. So if you change the potential, the current will be generated and it's going to flow to one direction. So this is the counter electrode will accept the current as a circuit. So that is the role or the what a counter electrode is doing. Okay, what is the counter electrode doing in the electrochemical measurement system? So it must be stable. Okay, so generally used. Platinum wire or platinum plate, or sometimes copper electrode. Use it as a counter, as a CE. Also, the shape of the counter electrode is kind of very important under some special situation. For example, electric plating, denki meki, electroplating. You want to get a very uniform plating layer. So if the your sample is this big and your sea is this small, the current distribution, okay, you can see the current distribution, okay, is not good. It's not good. And also if you're only on this side, the other side of the metal, the sample will not be electroplated correctly. So if you want to get a very uniform distribution of the current, because I think, just like I said, the current is just between the C and W. So you have to design your the shape of the C to fit your situation or your experiment situation or your purpose. So that is very important. But sometimes you have to sacrifice because you don't have other choice. Just like in our case, we have to use the platinum wire for the three things. We don't have too much choice to control the distribution of the, but we try to make the working metal relatively narrow and small enough to reduce the effect of this shift effect for the continent. So basically, if you're very big, so you put your working sample in the center and you use a very big plate around it, basically it's no problem. You get very uniform. Just I think the same situation if you do something anodic polarization in ATSUMI lab, I think they use a very big PT plate around the working actor to reduce or solve this problem. So the same problem is not easy. Sometimes you must be take care. And for the reference, this is not the end. Because this reaction on the reference electrode. So if this reaction happens, and also if the concentration of the electrolyte in it is totally different from the real composition of your aqueous solution of your electrolyte, then is totally different, the diffusion, some of the ion species will go into the solution, and the pollution or become the solution will become dirty, or the composition will change. So it is not good just for using this kind of system, especially for a long time. So if you test it just 3 or 4 minutes, and maybe it doesn't affect your result greatly, but if you test it for a few days or just put it inside, it is kind of very important to take care about these kind of things. So this is the real electrode used in our lab. This is the reference electrode. You can see actually we put the saturated solution of KCl into this tube. And this is glass, outside glass and inside glass. And you can see the electrode. And the electron, the electrode, this is CRL, I think, coated with AgCl, because AgCl is kind of insoluble, fuel thermal. And that is the whole composition. But some question, AgCl is not a solution. So why we use this brown color glass? Because you already know from the experiment in your first grade, if you let AgCl put it under the sunshine or something like that, it will change color, and some part of the composition will happen. So that is why they use this colored glass to protect the from decomposition, protect CL from decomposition. And another thing is because here is KCl. For example, your your solution is sodium, sodium sulfate, something. Use some natrium. So you cannot let it go on. So actually, here is the changing part or the exchanging part of this reference. This is not just a hole. There's a ceramic part or something in it, filled in it. So it only lets some ions pass through this electrode and go outside. But even doing this, it is not good because inside there's no sodium ions, okay? There's no SO4 even sulfate ions, something like sulfate anions and so sodium cations, okay? So the perfect way we use this reference electrode. If you try to research on the web, we don't use this kind of configuration, okay? You put the reference electrode in another cell, in another glass beaker or glass, you know, equipment, and you set up a bridge like this. This is made by me with the, you know, the gas burner. It's not perfect good, but you can see the basic idea. So we call it salt bridge, salt bridge. So what is the function of this salt bridge? We basically, we put some other things in it and let the some special ions only, for example, sodium ions or potassium ions can pass through this bridge. So we put some, just like agar-agar, kanten, for example, kanten, naka ni, で、そしてアルシウムイオンしか取れないような感じにすると、ね、So it will reduce the effect of the species ions in reference electrode greatly, and almost there's no effect of the ions existing in the reference electrode. Will have some effect on the real solution electrolyte system we want to test. So that is the function or the role of the salt bridge. So for a long time measurement, you have to use these kind of things. Basically, actually we had an experiment for testing the corrosion process of iron in the fourth grade student experiment. But recently we didn't, I didn't do that because it was done, I think, in the fifth grade by Professor Idoi about the corrosion of iron, something like that. At that time, I think this is it was used for, you know, this is a sodium sulfate solution and this is a saturated potassium chloride solution. You put the bridge around it, and you know, here is only the counter platinum wire, maybe platinum plate, and the samples iron, and another in another glass bottle or beaker, you can get the saturated KCl and the reference electrode, that kind of thing. Yes, so you have to have a good machine or device to do the experiment, to do the electrochemical experiment, and you have to prepare the electrodes for the test, for the measurement. One is, of course, the sample you want to test, and for test it, if you want to get the information, or you have to get the information how to control the potential, you have a reference electrode. And when you do the polarization or you shift the potential from the kind of equilibrium condition point, so you need to have another electrode to accept the change, because the the generation of current. You have to accept the current flow by another electrode. That is the counter electrode taikyoku. So with these three, basically three electrode system, you can do the electrochemical measurement, generally speaking. In some special cases, also in our lab, we use two electrode system, or sometimes for other research field, you use four electrode system, something like that. That is why for our impedance equipment or central start, actually we have four wires, okay, four cords, not three cords. ですから、ポテンシャルスタートなぜ4本のワイヤーがあるか、研究分野によっては4つの電極を使っている時もあったりします。
Okay, so with this kind of things, or equipped with this device and electrodes, we can do the experiment. The experiment is very, kind of very easy. So we do the polarization, we call it 電極。It means from the equilibrium point. It is either at the real equilibrium for one, only one pair of chemical reaction, or a kind of mixed potential. We talked about mixed potential. The anodic side is the dissolution of metal, and the cathodic side is maybe the reduction of oxygen or the generation of hydrogen, something like that. So, basically, when they got a stable situation, stable state, they got one potential. It is either the potential of equilibrium for one, we call it electrochemical standard potential, or the corrosion potential. Okay, and you have the different reaction between the anodic side and the cathodic side. Anyway, we have one point. So if you shift the potential to either side, the positive side or negative side, the current will be generated. So it depends on the speed, the rate of your shifting or something like that. So it depends on different purpose also. Sometimes we just shift it very quickly and want to get the information about the interface or some species disappeared or generated, something like that. Or sometimes we just slowly, okay, change a little bit and catch the information or current, change a little bit. So we have a constant sweeping rate. We call it potential dynamic polarization, something like that. You change the potential rate or the speed at a constant value, maybe 1 millivolt per second, something like that. And you can get the response of current from the cathodic area, also from the anodic area. So the starting point is kind of very difficult. Sometimes if your sample is very easy to be oxidized, even you put into the solution, for example, titanium, for example, stainless, something like that, aluminum, okay? So you have to put the potential first at the starting from the cathodic side to let the oxide film be reduced, okay? Be reduced, and to prepare a very refreshed aluminum or titanium surface, something like that. So that is one way to do that. Another way is just to start it from the zero, from this shift to this side, or shift to another side, something like that. So basically, if you use the potential start and use the three electrode system, you can get this kind of polarization curve. So, as we talked theoretically, the derivation of the Tafel equation, if you replot this area, kind of this area, you can get this result,
is kind of changing. And we change the current axial to a long one, and also you know the tight end of it. So this side is kind of flipped upside, okay, and a long. So this is the real, the almost the same. You know the result. We just you know change it in, to show it in a different way. So again, here is the you know this is minus back. We just you know long arms change this way and long. You know, that is the result for what we done. So the horizontal axle is the same and the potential change. It depends on papers. Some papers they just change. I think maybe recently most of the papers I just attended the conference, you can see the vertical axle is potential and you know, the horizontal side is the current density is axle. But anyway, if you do what I said, you can get this figure. And we know that at some area for the Tafel equation, okay, Tafel equation, you got this linear area for this polarization curve, linear area. So we call it extrapolation. Extrapolation cannot spell very well. You can see the dotted line. Actually, you only can get this curve or the result. You can with experiment, you cannot directly test the accuracy. You have to use this method and change the horizontal axial to a log one and. Find the linear area and extrapolate as a leading line, and you got the cross point. This is the cross point is exactly the potential exactly here. Okay, the 0 point. Okay, but you can get the eye corrosion. That this potential, the corrosion rate or corrosion speed. Is expressed with the current density. So this is the corrosion rate, corrosion, the speed, how fast this reaction happens, is happening, something like that. So you can get the corrosion rate, for example, in sodium sulfate solution or sodium chloride solution for iron, for chromium, or for some other alloys. So you can estimate your material components under these conditions, how long it will last, or how many things, or how much it's going to be crowded every year or every month, something like that. Because you can change the current reversely to mass. By the following law or something like that, and get the mass. So, and if you know the area of your samples, you can calculate the thickness, the decrease of thickness of your sample. Maybe 0.1 millimeter per year or something like that. So you can now know this part is going to be can be used for another 10 years or another 30 years, something like that. So that is the basic concept for how to calculate the corrosion rate. So by calculating Gaussian weight, we use this method. We use net polarization method. And this graph or diagram is called Evans diagram because it is first proposed by Evans, who is a Gaussian scientist. I think he also wrote some books about Gaussian and Gaussian, you know, electromagnetism about Gaussian, something like that. So this is very simple case, very simple case. Okay, sometimes the analysis just doesn't go like this way. I will introduce you briefly later. And also cathodic, maybe it's kind of just like the diffusion control process. You can get a Coxon Genkai Dendrobism. You can get a value doesn't change with the potential, something like that. So it's kind of complicated in the real life, in the real life practical situation, application side. So, but basically, this is the Evans diagram. If you check on the website, put Evans diagram inside, and maybe you add some Gaussian words, something like that, you can get this explanation from different side. Okay. yes. So here we're going to use this polarization curve to think more deeply. Why stiffness does not grow? Okay. We call it passivity or passivation state, something like that. So the reason for stiffness is good enough in our daily life. It doesn't rust or doesn't grow because, of course, the existence of chromium and nickel. Okay, this is, I think, what we learned. We learned in organic chemistry and also materials engineering, maybe a little bit about why what is the composition of stainless. Well, we use stainless as an example because it's kind of very familiar to us in our daily life, and there is most common materials we use except iron, steel. Okay. I think you may hear in this explanation from the third year. A lot of things, okay? It's kind of Fe from L, okay? It's kind of, okay? But with nickel. So the composition is from. So you also maybe have some, of course, some G-Hati. Means this is chrome, this is nickel, the percentage. Okay? Of course, the base is fine. Okay. So, back to this slide, I think what you got is in Japanese maybe is much easier to understand. The existence of a thin, very thin, transparent oxide film on the surface of stainless steel. Yes, transparent. If you have a knife or a cutter, you just made a scratch on your stainless spoon or stainless fork, you can't see anything. You cannot see anything. Okay. So there's no thick oxide film on the surface. Very, very thin. So it is very thin, then also the reason for it is transparent. Okay, there's no resistance or barrier for the light to pass through. So that's very
several nanometers, several nanometers. So years ago, maybe 10 years or 20 years ago, it is very difficult for us to measure the thickness of the oxide film on state, on the surface of stainless. We use some, you know, eclipse, I think, some optical measurement to know, not directly, indirectly, to get the thing, because the reflection or refraction, some the light will change because of the thickness. So from that information, we can calculate the thickness of the oxide film. But recently, because the development of high-tech, high-resolution electrochemical, electron microscope, electron scanning microscope also, you can get the real image about how thickness the oxide film is. So that is the this image. This was taken, I think, 4 years ago when I was attending International Corrosion Conference held in Jeju Island, South Korea. One researcher from a steel company, I think steel company in Korea, gave this presentation for the iron chromium alloys, the new development things, thickness and structure of passive film. You can see this is the thickness of passive film. I think they use some not FVI, FID, the you know, etching the both sides of the things and get the cracked the thickness of 2.5 to 3.0 or 4.0, kind of several under 5. It's very, very thin. I think this for me is the first time to see some real image about the oxide film on a kind of stainless steel. Okay, so this is the real image. So the main composition is insoluble. I didn't know how to pronounce this word insoluble. I just checked it yesterday. Insoluble chromium oxide. So the main part is chromium. There's some a little bit other things, maybe oxide, iron oxide or nickel oxide, a little bit. So the main things is the oxide of chromium. Okay. From the potential pH diagram also, the chromium or chromium oxide is very stable among a wide range of pH and also a kind of relative shifting of potential. So compared to iron oxide, Fe2O3 or Fe3O4, or compared to nickel oxide, NiO, is much more stable than other oxide. So that is why stainless does not chrome. It's very condensed oxide film, very thin on the surface of stainless steel. The main composition is Cr2O3, which is very stable in a very wide potential range, also wide pH range. Okay, so that is not end of the story. It's just like science fiction, okay? It has a self-heating ability. It means that the reaction of the chromium with oxygen around, okay, is very quick and generate very dense film. Again, if you have a, you do the scratching, and just follow your scratching, I think the formation of the chromium oxide on the surface, the scratch surface, okay, generates very quick, so there's no further corrosion happens, okay. So
That is the self-healing ability.
But please keep these things, two things in your mind. The self-healing ability, it depends on the first the existence of oxygen. So if there's no oxygen in the atmosphere, after scratching, there's no possibility for forming a very condensed, good enough protective film on the surface. So stainless may curl under certain conditions, under certain conditions. So that is some situations. Also, I did at high temperature because we just shut down all the oxygens, just let the atmosphere, you know, filled with argon gas, something like that. So, and that's it, under that situation, the materials with a lot of chromium content will not behave very good, not show a good corrosion resistance at that time. So another thing, but that is, you know, in our dealer, there's no place you know, without oxygen, so we have oxygen anywhere, everywhere. But in the solution, aqueous solution, with the existence of chloride ions, I will talk it later, chloride ion, N-carbothion, it's kind of difficult for stainless steel to keep on its good corrosion resistance under such conditions. So if you put your stainless sample in sodium chloride solution for 2 weeks, you can get the small spots everywhere on the samples. So it doesn't corrode, you know, uniformly, but you can get some brown spots on your stainless samples. So that is why from the third grade, I recommended all the students after, you know, don't touch any electronic apparatus with your bare hand, because a lot of sweat with chloride ions. For a long time, the components will chrome to some extent. And also, if happen to put the salt in, you know, in your kitchen, okay, not chicken, okay, kitchen, the sink, you have to clean it very quickly, just use water or something like that to wash it. If you put it over there for weeks, it's going to be a big problem. And if you put some soup or instant ramen noodles or something like that on your bike or on your, you know, the wheels or the chrome plated part of your cherished things or good things, it's going to be a problem also. So ですから、ステンレスは腐食しない、ね、まあほとんどの場合は腐食しないんですと。まず酸素がないと、ね、再生できないか、3番目のメリットは活かせないんで、これは腐食します。でこれはもう高温で、例えばね、アルゴン噴気中で、この酸素を、ね、ほとんどない状態では非常にこの、ね、あり得るケース。じゃあ常温でどういうことなのか、周りに酸素だらけじゃないですか、酸素ないと俺たちも生きられないっていうね、ただ水液中とかそういうようなところで、クローライドイオンが存在するときに、でこれのセルフヒーリングシステムっていうかね、この機能を阻止する働きがある。ですから食塩ね、僕たちの体液も中にも入ってるし、こういったものね、汗ね、食塩ね、そういうようなこのスープとかそういったものはどっかにこぼしたりとかするとすぐにね、クリーニングしないと、やっぱ後々ちゃんとね、この問題が出てくるというようなことになります。まあこういうようなことが、 So for this kind of error, the polarization curve, if you extend the range of your polarization experiment, you know, shifting the potential to a wide range, well, I think maybe, but still I'm 2 millivolt, I think. For the iron chromium alloys, you can get this anodic polarization curve. So you can see it's totally different. When we were talking advanced diagram, we only talked about this area. Okay, so this area is kind of for this area is very narrow, very small area. And if you shift potential further to positive side, noble side, you can get the current rising up, rises with the increasing of electrical potential, with the potential, and at some point, it just drops dramatically, or greatly, to a very low value, very low value, very low value. And then it is going to keep this value for a while, for kind of a range. So basically, this is the range, how your material is good enough. You have a wider range, you have good curvature resistance. So it's keep on very small. So we call this the passivation state, or passive state of this alloys. What is reason, just as I explained it, is the formation of oxide film on the surface. Mainly the composition is chromium oxide. So if the chromium oxide form on the surface, further corrosion, further dissolution of iron or other metallic elements, components, will be stopped. Okay, and these kind of things will keep on for a while. But if you raise the potential further, so the energy, the driving force is good enough to penetrate the oxide film. So again, you get the overpassivation state. So the oxide film will be destroyed by the power of your potential raising, and the current will increased again very quickly. And then it's going to get into the area for the generation of oxygen. So the current will increase more and more, something like that. So this is the basic rough image of this. Not only iron chromium alloys, but alloys or metals with the there's some characteristics can be passivated with the increasing potential at the anodic side. We also have kind of similar polarization curve like this. So let's go to see a little bit detail about anodic dissolution. So here is kind of key point. As I said, for a good alloy, this area is very narrow, and it changes to this area very quickly. let me show you. So for the real world, it doesn't show very beautifully like the illustration. So here is this stainless steel, SAS-316. The change anodic polarization. You can see, actually, for this kind of alloy, for the normal condition, there's no this area. Because why? Because before you put into the solution, the surface already have oxide film on the surface. So it starts basically from here. So if you polarize a little bit with the negative potential, it will going to show this area. But basically, if you only put your sample into solution, it starts from some point from this area, I think. So that is why titanium and stainless steel kind of like this. But stainless with the, I think with the, because it tested in the physiological saline, it's kind of sodium chloride solution, 0.8 something like that. CD frequency naga de test shita nagara. You can see here the fluctuation on the, you know, anodic side. What is this? It is the formation and the forming and the being destroyed, the forming destroyed of oxide frame. だから炭化物の、ね、食塩水の中ですから、破壊と生成の繰り返しなんです、表面で。できたり消えたり。そうすると、もう最初の可動機は、可動機というか、これね、実際にこの、分極するときには、生成食塩水がコロナにも存在してますから、もうかなり揺らぎがあります。揺らぎがあるように見えます。この軸を見てください。相当小さいものですね。ですから軸をもうちょっとこうでかくすればね、こうほとんど見えないかもしれない。まあ、チタンはそうなんですけどね。拡大すると、この実際に表面の膜の生成と消失っていうか、ね、このね、腐食をされて、いうようなことはどんどんどんどん繰り返してやってると。でそうすると、さらに電位が増えると、ウエスティングリーシングテンションを見せ、over passive state で、ステンレスとしてはもうこれ以上起爆を維持できない、この低いエネルギーで compared to stainless steel you can see titanium still still keeping the value in the very low situation so you can see titanium is much much better than SUS316 stainless steelUnder this condition. ですから食塩、コロナ禍でも存在する場合には、タレン、ね、地帯、相当強いと。ステンレスは逆にちょっと弱いと。Back to... So, actually, if you shift it very fast, only for iron, it can have this kind of...polarization curve, but for iron, because during this area, it is going to corrode very severely. ですから、鉄の場合は理論的にはこういう形もできるはずなんです。ただこの活性溶解っていうか、こう溶けるときにボコボコたくさん腐食性質も出てきて、Fe2 とかね、で水酸化物とか他の油性の無着性の前ないで。この上 でこれを表面に存在するとさらにこっちに来てもできないよね、この緻密な三角形を上に覆うのは。ですから鉄はもう完全にだらだら、ね、上に行っちゃうような感じ。ただスピードが速ければ、ね、鉄の割と綺麗な三角形すぐにできて、このことを、ね、低い年齢じゃないのもこうちょっと下がったりとかすることもやってきます。 It's also possible for iron if you sweepthe potential rate in very quick, very high value, quickly shifted, quickly. So here is the active dissolution part. I think in the middle test you're going to explain this figure by yourself. Of course, in Japanese, okay, it's no problem. So here you can see that now it's very small. Basically, here is kind of formation.Or the the disappearing, or the forming of the oxide film on the surface. So here is kind of fluctuation, basically, the real world you can see, and gradually it comes down and stable. So you can see even in the passive situation, it still grows at very very low speed. Okay, great.we call it passive current、ね、不動体電流、ね、あるいは不動体保持電流っていうね、言いますけど、ここは非常にこの
緻密な被膜を通して若干の腐食っていうかね、腐食も発生しますね、発生します、ですから完全にゼロではない、ね、ゼロではない、で、for further shifting of potential we can get the overall perturbation. So this is kind of not good situation for stainless steel because the overall perturbation meansthe chromium with the valence is 3 plus 3 will change to plus 6, okay? We got chromium 6, okay? Cr 6 plus, so this year, sometimes. So, で、あまりにもシートしてあると、今度ね、酸化の、さらに、ね、オキシア、アシっていうかね、アニオン、何々酸になっちゃう。ね、他くるも出てくるし、で、further you can get the generation of oxygen.
So this is the basic anaerobic polarization curve. This is kinetics, okay? This not a kind of you know, but compared to the pH diagram, you can get the correlation with the pH diagram.Here is the pH diagram, potential pH diagram. You can see, yeah, this is the active dissolution area. And with shifting the potential, you can get the perturbation area. And for furthermore, you can get the over perturbation area.So just you know, rotate your pH diagram, you can get this correlation with the pH potential pH diagram for stainless steel. So that is too hard. I think this is for chrome. This is so you can get the three different area for this.The stable state for the metals. Okay. So about stainless steel, sasamaryo in Japanese. Well, okay. So stainless steel 304 is a composition of 18.8 stainless. It's kind of high grade stainless steel. So you can see from the corrosion, high corrosion rate or the speed of corrosion. With the increasing of chromium content, you can see the corrosion rate dropped greatly. After, I think here is about 11 or 12. So for stainless steel, you must have at least 11 or 12% of chromium. If it is not, it cannot be called stainless steel.So you have the limit value, the lower limit for stainless steel. So if you got this, this is 18, okay? 18, okay? It's very good stainless steel. If you put more chromium content, it's okay. But remember, the materials or the components, the first, you know,The first thing we want to, it to be is the mechanical property. So you must have the mechanical property good enough to be a component or to be a part to hold something or to, you know, against some strength, something like that. So increasing the problem too much, you can have some damage or lower the properties, mechanical properties for material. So that is not you know, a way to solve this problem. So that is why we have some dilemma between the corrosion resistance and mechanical properties of a material. So you have to, you know, find a balance point for your decision. I think the properties of mechanical, the properties of corrosion, and also the cost economically, okay, and that is And another way, we are not going to talk too much about that is, in most cases, also in our laboratory doing these kind of things, if the part you need a very strong or strong enough mechanical properties, and with this condition, the corrosion resistance is not good, you just put a layer on the surface. Okay? We call it coatings or plating, something like that. And to let this layer to do the corrosion resistance role or part job, something like that. So that is why we kind of always doing the surface modification research or some techniques try to balance the cost, balance the different request from the different perspective or different angle, mechanical corrosion or cost or something like that. So that is why we have paint on the door, okay, also. And we have the aluminum anodic oxidizing on the surface of the notebook. That is the whole idea. So this is the real one. And yeah, I think we have to stop here today. Okay. So about middle term test, what we are going to do? So we have another lecture on 26, maybe have a test on 30, I think it's better. I think the Kuguri wa chodo ii desu ne. 次回は少しもうちょっとこの本教育を少し説明して、で後半は測定法からスタートすると。26日はちょっとまあやはり授業を少しやって、残り時間あれば少し、まあね試験準備もしてもらって、で30日に試験をやると。大丈夫ですかね。よろしくお願いします。はい、That's all for today. Thank you very much for listening. で今配ったやつはまた後半の部分に使いますけど、あとこれは実際にね、先ほどの文教育推薦でちょっと英語での説明ちょっと見づらいかもしれないですけど、興味あるかもしれない。あともう一つは、僕のところにないんですけど、JFE のこの1ページのやつ、両面で1ページなんです。これは日本の会社のホームページから電気化学の測定法のちょっとまとめみたいなやつ、1ページだけちょっと若干に出すとはみたいなやつ、今川北君持ってるやつ分かった、ありますよね、
はい、あ、今日
です
か、ありがとうございます、
ということで、ちょっと暇な時に悩みつつ、ね、俺もちょっと読もうかなと、実際にこのこれは実際にこの昨日ちょっと見つかったやつで、オンラインでタダでダウンロードできたら、まあ皆さんにちょっと紹介しても大丈夫だろう、ちょっといろいろインピダンス法とかもいろいろ紹介されてます。はい、じゃあ今日この辺でお願いします。金曜日食べ過ぎてお腹の調子がいっぱいなり回復
してた。私全然大丈夫でした、ね、
いやだから別にいつもあんなに食べてないからさ、急に多分食べるとお腹ストップしてるよ。
次の日元気にボーリング行きました。
好きな分かる。
でもその代わり今筋肉痛がやばいです。